Hello, everybody. It's Curmudgeon's Corner. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo.
It is April 29th, 2012. As I say this, that's a Sunday. We're recording. It'll be out later this week. You know, I always still pause before the year, because, like, I have to think a little bit to figure out what year it is.
Well, I just noticed, like, about a week ago or something, I was dating some documents, and I'm dating them 2011.
You were dating some documents? I thought you were more into women.
Yes, I am, but this week I got the documents.
Oh, okay.
So I was putting down 2011 on a... and I was like, oh, crap, what the hell?
You know,
it's almost May, for God's sake.
Just then, when I was about to say the year, the first year that came to my mind was actually 2009.
Jesus Christ.
But, you know, I just feel glad that it wasn't something in the 80s. You know,
yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so. we had a really crappy show last week where we didn't have much to say, so both Yvonne and I spent a lot of time before the show trying to come up with potential topics, and guess what? It's still a slow week. Now,
yeah.
My list, you know, I had SIPSA, I had America.
Oh, shit. Let's just keep going.
So I'm recording again.
You know, we have been, over the last couple of weeks, the ultimate barren landscape of ideas here. Okay?
Look, we are going to admit this.
We have not been at our top. I don't know why it is.
It's called
summer.
You know,
summer. There's been a lot of weeks.
I mean, it's
that
not
I've
actually
get,
summer yet, but, you know.
But I get, like, you know, I know it's not summer, but, you know, down here it feels like it already. I go and I'm just like, my weeks lately, I don't know, they just feel so busy. Normally, I would go through a week and get, like, annoyed or passionate about a subject. I gotta tell you something, it's been weeks since I've given a flying rat's ass about anything, okay? You know, anything outside of the purview of the shit that I've gotta take care of. Like, you know, my wife's pregnant, I've got shit going on at my job. I got shit going on outside the job. I mean, we got into, you know, we're doing some business. You know, me and my wife have got a business that we started up outside of work, and I got this stuff happening in the house, and we got a baby coming, and we got a baby shower, and we got a room to prepare, and we got all of this shit. All of this crap is going on. And honestly, I just, you know, have been just no idle time to just be, like, sitting around and thinking about shit. Okay?
Yeah, I understand. So, for those of our listeners who are utterly confused at this point, we just recorded a segment. You heard the first 2 minutes of it. I sort of said hi, and that we were thinking about a few topics. We were talking about, we had written down a bunch of topics, but none of them were very exciting. And then we got into, like, a riff on the height of the World Trade Center.
Right.
And how far the horizon was at different heights above the ground.
Right.
And we talked about that a little bit. And then we introduced our topics, and then I realized I'd only recorded the first 2 minutes. So
right.
we let's see, 16 minus 24, 8 minutes missing. But most of that 8 minutes was us talking about, you know, hey, if you were 100 feet off the ground, how far could you see? So
right, and apparently it's not that far.
It's not that far. So you didn't miss that much. But anyway, our real topics of the day are going to be Google, the post-crash credit card economy.
Post-cash, not
crash.
I
keep thinking crash. Whatever. And a little bit about election politics. It's kind of slow right now, but a couple things did happen, and we can talk about the future. Anyway, that's our plan. And sorry for you guys missing the 8 minutes of not that exciting stuff anyway. So, we will be back after this break, and then we'll talk about Google.
Break.
Break, break.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin, Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay. Google.
Google.
Google at some point promised not to be evil. I think that's out the window now, right?
I don't know. You tell me. I mean, why do you think that they are evil?
Okay. Evil is obviously
more exaggerating, obviously, but yeah. Okay.
But I think a lot of the things that, like, made people love Google for the longest time are things that just aren't true anymore.
Such as?
It was a pure search engine.
Yep.
You went to the page, there was a big-ass search box in the middle and nothing else, and you click the button and you get good, decent results. And nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a little advertising around the edges. Fine, they can make some money. But it was not distracting. It was not in the way. It was not whatever. And now, Google is trying to be Google experimented with all kinds of other stuff. And you have Google Maps, and you have this, and you have that, and you blah, blah, blah. But they weren't like, if you went to the regular Google, you weren't bombarded by these things.
Right.
Now, the Google homepage is still pretty clean unless you've customized it. I just went there now. I almost never go there, by the way, because I use the Google search box in my browser. Right now the Google homepage has a bar at the top that, goes to Google Plus, Google Search, Google Images, Google Maps, Google Play, YouTube, News, Mail, Documents, Calendar, and more. There's a little drop-down for more. There's a big box inviting you to install Google Chrome. There's some Google Plus stuff in the corner and a share button.
Oh, my God, I got a Google Plus spam this last week, for God's sakes.
And I think one thing is it's just become more and more omnipresently obvious that, and this has always been true, by the way, or at least ever since Google got into the advertising game, which was pretty early on, it's been more and more obvious that Google is about, collecting information that it can sell. And, this is Facebook's model, too. This is,
No. Here, let me ask a question.
But it's just becoming more in your face as you go on, because this all, and also, like, I've heard a lot of people talking about, because the search results are customized in the way they are, that they feel they can no longer really trust them, because it's like insulating you in a bubble, because the things that your friends like, the things that you've clicked on before, the things that Google thinks you're interested in, rise to the top of the search results, and you're not necessarily seeing a universal evaluation of truth. You're seeing something that's customized to you, and maybe you're looking for something new, or maybe you're looking to see what the universal consensus is, and instead you're just finding out what you already know.
Yeah, and I've seen that. It's quite interesting how sometimes I start typing in certain search terms or try to search on something, and I can tell that it's steering me towards certain things just because it must know what I've searched before.
Yes.
Okay. That's,
frankly, if you search for pizza and it realizes where you live and finds places close to you instead of across the country,
right?
That's cool. I don't mind that. But
I don't know. The other day I was getting annoyed because I was trying to search for a movie like nearby. I had been in Sarasota a couple of days ago. It kept fucking pointing me to goddamn movie theaters in Sarasota.
Oh, okay. I could see
and
that.
And I couldn't get the damn thing to stop. I am not in Sarasota, you fucking thing.
And I admit that kind of thing can sometimes be local. But on the other hand, I really don't mind saying movie theaters in Everett, Washington. When I'm looking for the movie theaters or whatever.
I agree. I just wanted to...
I've seen all kind of examples where people have posted, and there have been a number of people discussing this, so apologies for not pointing at any specific person. But for instance, on political topics, you know, it can potentially figure out, like, the example I heard someone talking about was, you know, you're a birther conspiracy theorist who thinks, you know, Obama's birth certificate was faked and all that kind of stuff. If you search for, you know, Obama birth certificate stuff, it is possible, this is not universal, but depending on your search history, it is possible that instead of you getting all the sites debunking all this crap, like most normal people would get, you would get stuff reinforcing the view you already have because you've looked at so much of that stuff already. Mm. You know, and so it's like, really? Okay, and I'm not expecting Google to take a sort of political view on this kind of stuff, but if you sort of tailor stuff to people's own viewpoints so much that the only thing they ever see are things that agree with them, you're not doing them a service. You're not doing me a service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an important part of figuring out what's going on in the world is hearing the people that disagree with you. Mm. But anyway, but it's more than that. It's like, it's all this in your face stuff. It's like they're pushing Google Plus everywhere.
I was going to ask. I think I registered for it. And
you
never
did. I sent you an invite. You registered.
Right. That's it. That's the only thing I've done.
So I'll tell you.
Did you ever log on again?
I check Google Plus on a relatively regular basis.
You do?
So here's what I do. Like, just out of, you know how, my primary place where I put content is on my blog. It will always be on my blog. I mirror stuff from my blog onto Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. You know, because there are people who go there and not to my blog, obviously. I also post a couple original things on Twitter, but they get summarized on my blog once a day. But here, you know, it's a very different experience than the others. It's more long form. It's more like sort of, it's almost more like an RSS feed of reading your news sources, except it's people doing longer form stuff. I'll tell you that, you know, I generally don't find much interesting there. There are a couple of my relatives who are on there instead of Facebook, which is interesting. There are a couple of old coworkers who, like, somebody I used to work with at Merrill is posts stuff on there all the time. And then there, you know, random, like, you know, I've followed a few journalists and scientists, folks, and a couple celebrities, you know, just to see what's up. And, you know, I'll put it this way. It's the place I go to when I've decided I've had enough of the others for a little bit.
Of everything else.
And just want to see if there's anything interesting going on there.
Can I tell you something? I'm there right now. I don't see shit in here that's interesting. First of all, I only got like three dumb friends in here, what yourself included.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck do I do with this thing. There's nothing to look at.
Well,
nothing.
See, here's the thing. You, unlike Facebook, where it's all about following your friends.
Right.
You know, this is a little bit more like Twitter. You find sort of like thought leaders who you want to follow. So you find a few journalists that you like that are on there, or find a few people who are specialists in your field that you want to hear what they have to say, and you follow them. It's not just here, connect to your friends. It's follow people who you think are interesting who don't necessarily know you.
Well, you see, here's the thing. I don't even like Twitter.
Well, this is like long form.
So it's like to sell it to me as, you know, you kind of find people, you follow them. I don't fucking like Twitter.
Or think of it more like finding your favorite columnists online. And, you know, I don't think you use RSS either. But
no,
it's the same kind of thing where,
you know, see, that's the problem. I don't like any of that shit.
See, like, I'm all about the RSS kind of thing. You know, I am not going to go to 15 different websites to look at the news every day. I'm not going to go to the New York Times and the Washington Post and Gizmodo and whatever other websites, you know, I like. I mean, my favorite columnist is Andrew Sullivan, who's currently at the Daily Beast. I've never been to the Daily Beast site, like, more than once or twice.
You know what? I have a certain set of websites that I look at every day, and what I normally do is that I just have them all in a little thing where I can just open them all in tabs at the same time, and I will peruse those pages to see what's going on in general.
See, now, I used to do that, like, 5-6 years ago. That's what I did. I had a list of websites that I checked every day. I had bookmarks. You know, I even had a bookmark that would open up the tabs to all of them at the same time. Same thing. You know, but then once I realized that I could just take the ones I liked, subscribe to them, and go to one place that included all the good stuff from all of them, I never went back. You know, and so, you know, I use Google Reader. That's, you know, that I'd say Google Reader is my primary for long form news stuff. I also do check Twitter on a regular basis now because I follow a bunch of people who point to interesting things. I mean, sometimes you get people telling funny jokes or whatever.
Right.
But for the most part, it's people who point to interesting things. So it's people pointing to articles that I'm not necessarily subscribed to in my own RSS feed. And sometimes if I find a good new source, I'll add it to my RSS feed. Anyway, we're on a tangent.
Right.
Big surprise. Google. What else is Google doing that's...
I don't know. There's this whole antitrust thing going on with Google. Everybody investigating them. I guess a lot of the whole privacy concerns regarding...
it's all about privacy, and I think that's going to be one of the things that, you know... Like I said, Facebook's doing the same damn thing. I mean, some people try to say, like, Google does it in a way that's better than Facebook, and Facebook is scummy and Google's good. It's all the same damn thing. You know?
I don't buy it. I mean,
Same damn thing. They are all companies whose primary business model is built on the notion of collecting as much information from as many people as they possibly can, and then figuring out ways to sell access to that information. Period, end of story. You know, it might not be directly, like they might not be selling specifically the information that you like tacos, but they're telling the people who want to sell ads about tacos that they'll get them access to all the people who like tacos. You know, and sometimes they may be selling the information directly, but in any case, that's fundamentally the business model of these guys and a whole bunch of other folks. You know, and so... The question is it at some point is there going to be a backlash from that? You know, there are sites out there that, you know, do search, for instance, stripping out all that crap. And goddammit, I'm going to forget the one that I was thinking. I'll look for a second. But there are sites that take out some of that stuff. But for the most part, you know, that's what it is. I don't know. Yvonne, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I was just thinking about this a little bit. It's just... When we turn over... I think we said this before. Technology, the way that it is, it's so pervasive in terms of even like knowing where you are, what you're doing, whatever... I mean, it's kind of the kind of privacy that we were used to before. It's just almost impossible to have anymore. It's just that it's impractical to a certain extent. I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, people want to do all these things, and the only way sometimes to do them is by giving up some privacy that we used to expect. And I'm saying some, not all. But
well, you know. There's the,
like the whole thing about your location. Okay, yeah. I find that always still creepy. But the reality is that using a cell phone and like, you know, or like whatever device, you're giving up your location. I mean,
You are. But like, there's a question of how that should be used still. Like,
right.
I don't mind the notion of, okay, I want to find, you know, again, the pizza place nearby. That's cool.
But should they let that pizza place know that you were searching on them?
Should they know that pizza place is searching for you? Should the fact that you gave up your location in order to search for the pizza place allow the use of that information for other purposes?
Right.
Should government be able to track and data mine people's movements without search warrants? Right. Should if your location information is released to somebody, should you have the right to know that happened? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's, you know, it is one thing to say, I want to let my location be known for a specific purpose at a specific time in order to accomplish something that I want, versus, you know, my location is now public information.
Right.
You know, or even, you know, because it's semi-public. Like, right, you know, like right now, you know, for most people, you know, their information is known, but it's not like anybody in the universe can just say, I want to know where Sam is. You know, but lots and lots of people can. The government can know, the telecom company can, right. Apple can, the right. Users of half your apps on the iPhone can. At one point popped up a little app that said, can you use your location? And you said yes, and you've forgotten about it. There are even websites now that do that. Like, you know, one of the feeds that I had going into my phone was a local Everett newspaper in Everett, Washington here. And I just unsubscribed and said, I'm never looking at you again, because every time I go to their damn website, it wants to know if they can know where I am. And I'm like, you don't need to know where I am. You know, I'm sorry. And also it was annoying because it doesn't remember it in that case. So I had to keep saying yes or no every time. But anyway, all this information is out there. It's the information economy, as they say. And one thing I was going to say is, do they need to collect all this information in order to provide you service X? No, not always.
Not all of it.
Not always. But, and certainly it could be a much more narrowly tailored thing, like I said. Like a need to know. You collect the minimum information you need in order to provide a specific service, and then as soon as you're done, you wipe it and you get rid of it. That is one possibility. But guess what? That possibility may work in some ways, but you're taking away a lot of their revenue streams.
Right.
Because again, could it be done without it? Yeah, probably. Could it be done and be a profitable venture? Maybe. Could it be done and support a mega corporation with the valuation that Google has? No.
Probably not.
No. And we've talked about this as well. Like, there's also the, you know, is no one satisfied anymore with having a mildly profitable, stable business?
No.
No. Everybody wants infinite growth and wants to be, you know, a huge mega corporation.
Right.
Yeah, that's not always needed. Come on.
I gotta admit that, you know, I would have been quite content and happy, okay, 15 years ago. I had, you recall, but probably most of you don't know, I had a nice little travel agency, okay?
Yeah.
And you know what? I had two employees total. We're all three in total. I had a nice little office, and we had a nice little business going. And to be honest with you, if I just kept growing that business a little bit, made it over the years or whatever, I probably would have been quite happy with that, because it was, you know, I liked it. I liked talking to the customers. I've said before, I like travel a lot, so therefore counseling people and help them how to travel, where to go, where not to go, do all this stuff was just, you know, very entertaining for me. But, you know, the airlines decided they needed to make a lot more money, so they basically said that we were useless intermediators, and I don't know, they changed the entire business model overnight.
You being the entire travel agent industry, not you specifically.
Much. Yeah, it's just the entire travel agent industry, and basically right now there's like two-thirds less travel agents than they used to be. Now I have been reading now that there is a comeback coming in that industry, by the way, and there's finally been actually growth in those, because I think I mentioned this a couple times that I try to plan a vacation. People are getting frustrated that it's just impossible to plan a fucking vacation. I mean, the number of hours that you spent versus, like, it used to be you called a travel agent, they would set all this up for you. Now, I spent one time like almost like three full days.
Yeah, because you can just say, I want to go so and so. I want to stay in a nice hotel. Set me up.
Right. Set me up, for God's sake.
And then they'll tell you where you're staying. They'll tell you what flight you're doing.
They'll give you a fucking itinerary and you're done.
Where, you know, and I'll tell you, like, just now I'm making plans to go to my sister's college graduation at the end of May. And, you know, just finding the damn flight. I mean, I used Kayak. It's a decent search engine. There are all kinds of options for picking what you want. But it's still a pain in the ass.
But there could be too many options for something, especially if you don't know the difference between the damn options in the first place. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, I go to these search engines and you look at the fucking hotels and the okay, this is the office I want. And then it populates all these fucking hotels all around it. And I'm like, look, unless I'm familiar with all the chains and whatever, what the fuck do I know the difference between this chain and the other chain and that thing and what thing? If a guy knows, look, I prefer Hyatt, I prefer Hilton, for God's sakes, find me the closest hotel to this location, this is where I'm going. Go. Okay? You know, that's it. I mean, anyway, all right.
Anyway, I got one more thing to say about this, and then we'll move on and take a break. I found the search engine I was thinking of, and first of all, the article I found it on was on memeburn.com, MEMEBURN.com. The article is Don't Google It, 9 Alternative Search Engines. It was published back in February. And they've got a bunch of interesting ones that are probably worth checking out. I should check out some of them. But the one specifically I was thinking about was DuckDuckGo. It's duckduckgo.com. It's very reminiscent of old Google. There is nothing on the damn page but a search box and a logo. And their claim to fame is basically absolutely zero tracking. They keep no record of your searches. They don't customize your search in any way. They, you know, et cetera. It's plain, straight up, here's your search results. I've heard that they're backed on the back end by Bing, actually, but they act as a proxy to Bing, so Bing doesn't actually know any of your information. And they just, you know, hear your results. And at the moment, there doesn't appear to even be advertising here, but, you know, at some point there probably has to be or they go away, you know, but... interesting site.
Well, not everything has to have that. I mean, think about it. You think about Firefox Foundation, for example.
That's a good point. There are certainly things that could be organized as nonprofits and still be viable.
Right.
You know, and there are a lot of industries where I'm like, you know, all it would take is one good billionaire deciding to provide this service as a nonprofit.
It's in Wikipedia, for example.
Right, like Wikipedia is out there, and they've certainly put some commercial companies out of business.
Yeah.
But there's certainly other things that, like, you know, if a big multi-billionaire decided to make it his mission, he could put entire industries out of business by setting up substitutes as nonprofits.
But, you know what, like I said, doesn't really take a big multi-billionaire because, let's face it, Wikipedia wasn't set up by one.
No, it wasn't. But they do have fund drives and that kind of
they
stuff.
They do have fund drives, yes, true. But, you know.
Anyway, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
And we will be back and talk about the post-cash credit card world. We'll be back after this.
The world.
Yep. Okay, we're back.
You know, speaking of putting people out of business...
I pushed a button and I lost the last 20 minutes. I'm sorry.
Fuck you.
I'm kidding you, of course.
Motherfucking. So, I was just going to say, I was looking up in Wikipedia Encarta. Okay, all right.
Yeah, Encarta.
Encarta. I mean, that's...
I vaguely remember them.
Vaguely? You didn't actually have a copy of Encarta?
No, I never had them. Because, you know, I've been Mac for a long time. You know, that was a...
There was a Mac version of Encarta.
No, I never had Encarta. You know, I guess, though, like... And Britannica, of course, very famously stopped. It has sold its last printed version of the Encyclopedia Britannica. The last printing only had 2,000 copies, and they'd only sold a couple hundred of them until they announced it would be the last one, and then I guess people snapped up the rest as collector's items. But
yeah, but those and they're all still went available out of business.
Online or whatever by subscription.
Right, but those all went out of business, pretty much. I mean, that's a reality. I mean, based on a different, like, free model, you know, so...
And it's not just Wikipedia. I mean, we were talking about Google. It's just Google, like...
Right.
I mean, Wikipedia makes it so much better, because the first result on the Google search is often Wikipedia.
That's
but,
right.
But, like, even before Wikipedia, the internet was causing extreme damage to these guys, because almost any topic you could think of, you could find reference material online fairly easily.
Right.
You know? It's just a different universe. Anyway.
All right.
Credit
so.
Cards. Post cash.
So let me ask you a question, okay? I don't know how you're... How do you use cash pretty... How much cash you got in your wallet right now?
I'll tell you, today is a very rare day because I actually have a single dollar bill in my wallet.
Wow.
But I almost never carry cash.
Well, you're ahead of me by $1.
And I
got none.
It's rare. Like, almost any day you ever ask me, I would have none. You know the reason I have a dollar in my wallet?
Why?
A couple weeks ago, I got a haircut and they didn't take plastic, so I had to go to an ATM and I got $40 out. And,
Went to a haircut place that doesn't take credit cards?
Yeah, I went old-fashioned barber kind of place. So, I tend to go to old-fashioned barbers, and sometimes they don't take credit cards. Anyway.
Wow, okay. Well, I mean, I've, you know, but so yeah, look, I've gone
and,
back
and the only reason I don't have 20 of that 40 still left, because I gave $20 or whatever for the haircut, and the only reason I have any of the rest left is my daughter needed some for something yesterday, and I gave it to her. So I've got $1 left.
Well, I will say that the last couple of months I've been going back and forth with her trying to, like, use cash, okay? All right? Instead of, like, using my credit
cash.
Card. Okay? Well, I've been trying to do it for budget reasons in order to maintain a more consistent budget, okay? Home budget.
You know how I do that?
Mm.
So... I know you've talked about this and said this is silly in some cases as well, but I only use a debit card, and I use the debit card against an account that I keep a very low amount of cash in. Like, generally, it has less than $200 in it.
Okay, so what you do is you transfer funds into, so that way you don't get caught with the problem of somebody going up fucking with your account.
Right, you don't get trouble with somebody screwing with my account. You also don't get tempted to suddenly go out and buy a big ticket item.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to think about, you know, okay, can I get this right now? Do I have this? I mean, and I can always move cash from another account if I need to, and I can do it on my phone in a couple seconds. You know, I've sometimes gone up to, like, get a coffee or something, and my card is declined, and I'm like, oh, excuse me, click, 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 click. Oh, try it again. But the fact that I keep a small amount in there, and I have to. I have to explicitly do work to move money into that account when I need more, makes it effectively act the same way as if I was keeping $100 in my wallet.
I gotcha. Hmm. That's pretty interesting. It's a pretty good... I like that setup. But I think here's the one thing. I get worried when... Okay, you know, usually for small transactions... Okay, so that sounds good. My concern that I sometimes get, I mean, the reason why I don't like debit cards in general has a lot more to do with the fact that there's the kind of protections that you get with a credit card don't really apply to a debit card, okay? That's why I, you know.
But if you're buying coffee and lunch with it, who the fuck cares?
Well, Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you're right. I mean
it's one thing if you're going to buy, like, you know, a large ticket item. It's a completely other thing if you're using it as your spending money during the day.
No, agreed. Agreed.
To get that?
No, but I think my wife will. Okay, I think she did already. Okay, so I guess I don't know. I've been debating what to do about this. I don't know. But be that as it may, the one thing about, like, right now is yesterday, for example, I went to this I went to an event yesterday where they had, like, for example, you know, I don't know if you've seen this little squared little attachment.
Yeah, the square. I don't think I've seen one in person, but I've read a lot about them.
Well, I went yesterday to an event that was a charity event, and everybody had iPads and iPhones with that thing in order to be able to run their transactions.
Yep.
Now, they did it using a credit, you know, so they were be able to accept credit cards, and we did that. And now, you know, and that got me thinking a little bit, well, why in the hell do we really even fucking need the credit card in the first place, for God's sakes? I mean, when is it that we're going to just go and, like, you know what, I have on my phone, I have this digital wallet. Yep. That's got my different credit cards.
Well, and that's starting to get popular in Japan with the NFC stuff, and there are rumors that, like, you know, certain phones in the US
are going
to get
it. I don't like the near field thing, okay? Yeah. I got to admit, because it's almost like, I know, for example, let me put it this way. Cars, for example, right now, and both of my cars at home have this, where you walk up to the car, you don't need to pull out the key in your pocket, you grab a door handle and it knows you're, you know, it knows. Yeah. Okay, so it opens a car and it lets you fire it up. Well, I know that those are crackable, like, relatively easily, because I don't know why the heck they picked on this guy, but there was a soccer player in Spain that he used to keep getting this special edition BMW SUV, and I guess the thieves really liked it. So using this RF technology, they were able to, every time he walked up, copy the signals off his damn key and steal his damn truck like 3 times. Okay, all right. I mean, 3 different one of them's. Okay, so I'm like a little bit like near field. I'm like, I'm always transmitting this damn thing. Somebody could just walk up and crack it and get it. No, I would actually prefer, to be honest with you, just the fact of be able to, you know, if you scan like my screen or something or whatever, it shows up a code or whatever. You scan it, and then you grab that information to do that instead of being transmitting it the whole damn time. But of course, then it gets into, like, well, they can crack in your phone and they can get it. I mean, I don't fucking know. I mean, there is one thing comforting about having the credit card in your pocket. I mean, they just can't go and, like, you know, pick it up like that. But I guess they could just steal your fucking wallet anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, all of these security type issues will get better over time too.
I mean, I will say this. I mean, they have been, you know, the security detection back at the credit card company in terms of telling whether I'm doing activity that is unusual has been better, okay? Because I've noticed, like, for example, they know what's usual and not usual for me, okay? Because I'll go on a trip to Europe, for example, and my card works all the time. I don't, like, some people have to call their fucking credit card company and, like, oh my God, yeah, you're gonna, no, they know that I travel. Okay, so they know that one day I could be in New York and the next day I could be here, well, whatever, boom, boom, and they're not gonna stop my credit card from getting charged. However, if I do something that is like some kind of a, like, an unusual expense, okay, something that I've never really, like, done, I mean, they'll actually let it through. But yet at the same moment, all of a sudden my phone rings and I'm like, Mr. Bo, yes, this is so-and-so forth from account security. We noticed that you did this. Yes, I did. Oh, okay, good. Just checking. Thank you.
Yeah.
Boom. And it's, like, almost, like, immediate. I've been, like, so stunned by how quickly they are on the ball with that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. But, I mean, do you really – I mean, I guess, you know, it's just a matter of time before we just don't carry any more fucking credit cards, isn't it? There's
you,
just
– You know, just, I, probably. But, you know, I'm not sure that I want – you're right. You could always miss it. But, like – I'm not sure that I want my phone to be the single place that all that stuff lives, you know?
Okay, that's a great point. So what would you like it to be? Some, you know, kind of like a separate digital secure device? That would be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I see the purpose of something like a card that's a separate entity, but, like, you're right, it's just as easy to steal. It's just as easy to misplace. You know, but
maybe not if you think about it, because I mean, let's face it. I mean, sometimes your phone, you leave it on your table, you leave it here, you've got it, you share it even with your kids or whatever, whatnot.
Right.
I mean, you probably want something that is a separate payment.
Whereas meanwhile, you're not like handing out your credit card for your people to play with, you know?
Right. Exactly.
But you know, but it's also just the everything in the same place kind of stuff. It creates a single point of failure.
Right.
You know, like,
let's face it, your phone falls in the water, you're fucked. You can't even pay for shit.
Right. Like, right now, you know, your phone falls in the water, at least you can use your card.
You could go to a store, identify yourself, pay for something, whatever, get back in gear. Right.
Yes. You can go buy a new phone.
Right. If your fucking phone falls, you know, exactly.
Meanwhile, that's a great point
you just provided. Your phone dies and you count on your phone to pay. How the fuck do you buy a phone? It's like that fucking VCR that I saw that came with a fucking installation videotape.
Yes.
You know, not very helpful.
Meanwhile, the flip side, if you lose your credit card, you can call the credit card company to get a new one.
Right.
You know, if they're all of the same thing,
you're fucked.
Now, you know, obviously the idea is at some point you're not going to just have one either. You're going to have your iPhone, you're going to have your iPad, you're going to have your desktop computer at home, and they'll all have all this information.
I don't know, but I like that concept, though. You know, it's not in your phone. It's a separate secure device that is the carrier of your payment information. Okay? You know, I like it.
And it's like biometrically linked to your brainwaves or something.
Whatever, yeah. Whether it's with my fingerprints or something or whatever.
Yeah, I like that. And look, you know, there's some situations where, you know, you still need cash right now, but they're getting fewer and fewer and fewer. And I bet you in a few more years,
there's still a lot of people that like cash. You know, the other day I keep going to a couple of merchants, like you just mentioned your barber. And, you know, I went to this other merchant and they were like, you know, they got the sign, you know, really, if you've got cash, can you please pay for it? Pay with it with cash because we get charged like 2%. You know?
Yeah, I'll tell you, though, if you're in a business where the 2% credit card transaction kills you, you're in a business where you're going to die soon.
Well, I don't think it's that it depends on it. I mean, let's face it, it just cuts into your profitability. I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, are you making like 28% or 30%? I mean, you know, it's kind of nice to have that extra 2 points.
Honestly, I think a lot of the folks who are cash only – because if they accepted the credit cards, they wouldn't be profitable.
No. I'm talking about places that they do accept credit cards. But I saw this place that they had a little note asking people that if you could please.
You know, actually, I believe having notes along those lines is against the terms of services.
I know it is. Yeah. By the way, so
I mean, I've also seen people mention, you know, extra fee for using credit cards, which is also against the terms of
services. It's also against the terms of service.
Although, as an amusing thing, a discount for using cash is not. And it's right. The same damn thing.
Well, I've seen, for example, well, right. I mean, but I've paid, like, if you try to pay, like, your property taxes or fines or stuff or whatever over the internet and you're going to use a credit card, they tack on those fees.
Yeah.
So, well.
Anyway, I very, very rarely carry cash these days at all. When I do carry cash, it's because I've had to use cash for something where there was no choice, and that cash ends up hanging around in my wallet for a long time because it takes me a while to spend the stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
All right. Well, okay.
Time to, you know, take another break. We'll come back. A little bit of election stuff, not that much, and then we'll be out.
All right.
Well, and, you know, and again, we're sorry you missed about the part about how far you could see if you went up in the air. Our bad. You are all distraught.
I know. They're all distraught. I could hear the crying right now.
We'll be back right after this. Bring me the elephant on the stick.
your conference account information.
And here we are.
Here we are again in the midst of the thing, something.
Okay, I'm going to save you from Yvonne's dulcet tones now. So, election. You know.
Erection?
Election.
Oh, election. Oh.
You know, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner yesterday, one of the people in attendance, quick 10-second story from the thing. Obama's like, you know, a lot of people are expecting me to make a lot of fun of my probable opponent in the fall, Newt Gingrich. and then the camera pans over to Newt Gingrich, who's in the audience. And he's like, Newt, there's still time. You can do it, Newt. Anyway, Newt Gingrich has indicated that he will probably drop out in the next few days. Despite all his previous things that he was going to get in it till Tampa tattooed on his forehead.
He did say that?
He said that in one interview, yeah.
Very good.
I kind of wish he had.
That would have been nice.
But
that would have been a nice touch.
But anyway, Newt's out. Santorum's out. They both keep their delegates because they're like suspending their campaigns. At least I presume Newt will just suspend his campaign. That's what they all generally do these days.
Right.
Ron Paul, of course, is still in it. And still winning delegates, by the way. He's the only other person besides Romney who's actually been continuing to gain more delegates over the last few weeks. Everybody else has actually lost delegates. He's also mathematically eliminated. So, you know, he can gain delegates and it's not going to make a damn bit of difference unless he gets Romney delegates defecting to him.
Right. Wasn't that the big thing? All the Romney delegates were going to defect? No?
Well, yeah, the Paul people say there are some stealth Romney delegates who really support Paul.
Well, that's amazing. Okay.
But, you know, there might be a few, but not enough to make a difference.
No? Damn.
But, yeah, so that whole thing's over. Dead. And now we're talking about the general, and the only thing I really have to say about the general is it's going to be a messy, messy campaign. Right now, if you look at the Electoral College, Obama almost has enough to win just with the states that he's ahead by more than 5% in the polls. He just needs a couple more states. If you take all the states he's a little bit ahead in, he's got a significant margin. You know, and so the further behind the losing candidate is, the more negative the race is going to get. And right now, Romney's pretty far behind. If you look at the Electoral College, if you look at the national popular vote polls, you know, yeah, he's a couple percent behind, but not that far behind. But like, really, in the presidential elections, first of all, it's the Electoral College that matters, not the popular vote. But it's very compressed. Like, the only elections that are really competitive are the ones where the two candidates are within a few percent of each other. If it's a 5 or 6% margin in the national polls, it's a blowout election, you know.
Yep.
Because of how it translates into the Electoral College. So, I don't know. It's going to be messy. We talked a little bit about the third party stuff. I believe May 8th or something like sometime in the next couple weeks, the Libertarians have their convention. They're probably going to elect Johnson. The Constitution Party elected somebody as their candidate last week or the week before. I forget. Not that we'll ever hear from them again, except as some obscure sideshow. But the one that's, and who knows, there might be some Ron Paul folks going over to Johnson as the Libertarian. That might be interesting to see. But they typically only get a few percent. But Americans Elect is the one that has been talked about the most as having some potential to do something.
Like what?
Well, here's the thing. They've got a number of wealthy Americans who have anonymously provided funding to this organization. Because part of what they're trying to get at is sort of reformed ballot access and more limiting the influence of money, blah, blah, blah. So all their donors are anonymous. But they have taken the steps to get on the ballot in all 50 states, which is a fairly significant accomplishment.
Yeah, it's a pretty big accomplishment.
You know, like, I believe the Libertarians are also going to be in all 50 states. They generally are, but the other parties generally don't manage that, and independents don't generally manage that. It was a big freaking deal when Perot managed, I think he got on all 50 states. He might have missed one or two, I don't know. But that was a big deal. So they're already on all 50 states' ballots. They have a slot. Now they have to pick a candidate to go into that slot. And the interesting thing is, what they're doing is, there are a couple odd things about what they're doing. So first of all, they're trying to be centrist. So they're going to pick a presidential candidate, and then the vice presidential candidate is required to be in the other major party. So if they pick a Democrat for president, they're going to pick a Republican for vice president, and vice versa.
I remember that. Yeah.
Also, they're doing the whole nomination caucus thing online. So you right now can go to AmericansElect.org, sign up, and vote in their caucuses.
Or caucus, as my wife likes to call it.
And there are a handful of declared candidates. There are also people trying to draft other people. So I'm looking at their homepage right now. The leading candidates right now, there are three declared candidates that are actively trying to win for Americans Elect. Buddy Romer, who's a former governor of Louisiana, and who ran as a Republican but never even got into any of the debates because he was polling so low. Rocky Anderson, I've never heard of.
And Bullwinkle?
Yeah, Lawrence Kotlikoff, who I've also never heard of.
Jesus, where do these people come from?
But then people are trying to draft Ron Paul, John Huntsman, and Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders?
He's a senator from Vermont.
Now I remember him. Okay.
Who's an independent.
Now I remember him. Okay.
But, you know, they've also tried to recruit a few other people, but a bunch of people had said, you know, sorry, no. Not interested. You know? Like, I think they tried to recruit Paul Krugman. You know, and miscellaneous other people. But anyway, there are a bunch of these people. There's going to be an online primary. The thing is, they've had a lot of trouble getting sort of an A-name person in there. You know, so all of these people are like, who? Who? Who's that again? For the declared candidates, anyway, and the draft candidates may or might not accept it, even if they're nominated. You know, so, but let's play out the scenario in case. Let's dream a little bit. This organization has a decent amount of money behind it. They are going to have somebody on the ballot in all 50 states. They're going to have enough budget to run ads. So let's say, you know, they pick, they could probably get the most support by picking Ron Paul. Ron Paul's not going to win the Republican nomination. He gets this nomination. He ends up on the ballot in all 50 states. He pulls away a significant chunk of Republicans and maybe some Democrats. Then maybe your prediction from from the beginning of the year comes true, and the presence of a third party on the ticket is enough to make a difference in the election. I think it would basically give the election to the Democrats in that case.
Probably, and this election, that would be the... Yes.
Yeah. You know, or even if they pick some of these, like, Buddy Romer, you know? He's an actual politician, he has actual experience, but, you know, no one's heard of him. He sort of disappeared after he was governor of Louisiana, he kind of disappeared for a long time. I don't know. Could they put enough advertising behind him to get some attention? Like, in order to get into the presidential debates, you have to poll above, like, 15%. That's a long way to go for a third party that nobody's heard of. So the question becomes, you know, are they able to put a bunch of money into it to get you there? Because getting on the ballots of all 50 states doesn't get you anywhere if no one takes you seriously.
Yep. That's totally true. I mean, and the one thing is that, let's face it, in order to have an impact on the election, you need that. I mean, it's just...
Well, like you said, in a close election, even a percent or two could make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, but in order for that overall percent, I mean, in order to be able to, you know, let's face it, if you just register in Minnesota, you know, you're only able to grab votes in states that are, you know, say, very heavy already one way to another. It doesn't make any sense. The reason why it helps when you're in all 50 states is because states get close, and then it makes a difference.
Well, okay? and you know, I keep going back to the Electoral College. In the end, a third party candidate doesn't mean shit unless they can actually win a state.
Well, it's not even. Well, no, I disagree. Because if it's a state, for example, that a third party candidate goes,
yeah, okay, fine,
and goes, and it's a close election, and all of a sudden they pull 2 percentage points out Republicans, all of a sudden it tips the election to the Democrats. It doesn't, you know, it winds up tipping that. So
yeah, you're that's right. I should rephrase. They don't have to win a state, but it is the state by state contests that matter here, exactly. Not the national popular vote,
right?
And so. It can make a difference. I mean, yeah, people said Florida in 2000, the difference was Buchanan. Nader. Well, Nader and Buchanan.
Nader and Buchanan.
If people hadn't accidentally voted for Buchanan when they meant to vote for Gore, Gore would have won Florida and would have won the 2000 election.
So, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So yes, these things can make a difference. You know, the election in the absence of a third party candidate being popular enough to actually win states, the election has to be kind of close for it to make a difference.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we're going to end up with a close election this time around or not. Well, but
too soon to tell yet. But right now it doesn't look like it, but too soon. But it's still too soon.
It's too soon to tell. But, you know, I'm going to look into these guys and see, like, you know, does the fact that I participated in the Republican process this time around prevent me from doing Americans Elect? If not, you know, I might do this just to see what happens here, because it's interesting. Okay. You know, but I don't know. What else is there to say about what to expect for an election? Anything?
Not that I can think of at this point.
They're all talking about dogs right now. So, you know.
I know. I saw the whole dog conversation. Yes.
We even talked about that last week. Wait, wake me up when they start talking about something real. But my fear is that they won't. This whole damn election is going to be made up bullshit.
Well, I honestly, let's face it, there is nothing that really seems like it's going to really happen and make a change until August. Right now, we are just totally in the fucking doldrums. I mean, let's put it to you this way. Obama gains nothing right now by really engaging Romney. Okay? That's what I think. I mean, he just needs to act presidential, do stuff. The economy's feeling a little better, blah, 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 blah. I just, you know what, don't fuck up right now, and, you know, we're fine. Romney has to go on the offensive, but let's face it, it's Romney, for God's sakes. It might as well be Gumby going out there, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, I mean, shit. I mean, this is talking about the fucking most dull-ass fucking slow race ever, okay? You know? Might as well see two fucking turtles racing right now, for God's sakes, okay? On a 3-mile run, okay? And it just got started. Fuck. Yeah?
Yeah, maybe he'll get some excitement with the VP candidate.
Yeah, the hell. I mean, what? What is he gonna... What the fuck's he gonna pick? What?
Limbaugh.
There you go. Unless we get another Palin. And I have the feeling that, given how diligent he being about it right now, that's not going to fucking happen.
Yeah, that's not Romney's style.
No, that would not be
Romney's. It kind of actually fits in with McCain's style, doing things by the seat of his pants. And
but not Romney.
Yeah, but yeah.
Definitely not Romney.
Romney will pick someone pretty solid.
Right.
There are some interesting questions. Does he go more moderate to try to win the center? Does he go more conservative to try to shore up his base?
I think he's already going more moderate.
He's already doing that tack to the center, for sure.
Absolutely.
But what does he do with the VP? He probably does want to go with someone who is a bit more exciting and engaging than he is himself.
Buchanan for people! Oh, no.
But he can't do too much because you don't want them overshadowing him.
Maybe Rush Limbaugh for VP. I mean, you know, I don't know. You see, if we got something like that.
Dan Quayle's free.
Yes, he's probably very available. Oh, gosh, that would be something. You know, I mean, I could never, you know what, I still, there is no more indelible moment than the Dan Quayle debate with Lloyd Benson, okay? You know, that first debate where he was just standing up there and looking like, I mean, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm here on national TV, for God's sakes. I'm like, I mean, I've never seen anybody more scared or freaked out ever on TV than Dan Quayle.
Anyway, I just found out Americans Elect says it right there on their site. You can still participate in your own party's primary even if you're doing America's Elect. So I'm signing up right now.
Yay! Yay!
Oh, I have create a PIN number.
Okay. Well, you know what, guys? We're done. We're out. Sayonara. I think we did a lot better than last week, but not that much better. We still sucked, but you know.
Oh, what the hell just... Oh, I...
Maybe we didn't suck, but we're just not happy right now with our performance.
Yeah, we have to start doing theme shows.
The theme.
We'll
we could have a stripper theme. We could have a...
I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking more like, you know, okay...
Maybe we need to get some more guests. We haven't had a guest
in we'll review browsers.
Browsers?
No.
What about... You know, maybe the porn or, web search capabilities of new browsers.
We'll review the best free internet online porn sites.
We could do a porn off.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to get this going.
You could,
we could get Al on the line.
And I have nothing to say.
We could get Al on the line and he could just sit there and mumble.
Yeah. Hey, he's talking about a friend of ours from college for everybody who has no freaking
Who has a tendency to mumble.
We're done. We're out of here. Thanks for listening again. Talk to you next week. Goodbye. Oh,
bye-bye.
Yeah. Applesmay@applesmay.com for comments. Not that anybody ever sent me.
Not that anybody gives a shit anymore, but oh well.
See you all later. Bye.
Bye.